Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Ann, and Melissa. Today's topic is the shadow side of aliens. After we did that a couple of episodes, we were talking afterwards about, not all encounters are exciting. Ooh, I want to do that again, are they? What are the alien races that are most known for negative encounters?
I don't know all of them, for sure. I think there are so many that we don't know. But, you know, what the main ones that we do know could be possibly like the grays or reptilians. And there are different groups that are the light that sometimes have some old school, yucky, dark, shadowy ones. So, like, for instance, there's some Orion ones that are known for being bad back in the day. So, but I think there are many different races. I do not know all of them. You just know by the way they feel that they're creepsters and just try to commit sort of infest in your energy field and your mind and your thoughts and your energies.
I was going to say, you know, some of those that you're talking about, like, the grays, I think, are one of the ones who are known for abducting people against their will, conducting experiments that are not pleasant or downright painful and frightening abduction experiences, which is why I told you this before, but when I moved to Sedona and somebody told me there was a gray living in my neighborhood, though it did not seem like it was true, it wigged me out a little bit. Like, I didn't like that thought that there's a gray living down the street from me. Honestly, I think those people had a whole lot of time on their hands. I could be wrong. Maybe there really was. But you also mentioned that Orion, and I think I told you that I was living in Sedona at that house, my first house there, and I had a being come in, a very powerful being, and it was really beautiful light. And I asked, "Who are you?" And they said, "Orion," but I knew it was spelled the same as Orion. And I didn't like that because what I heard about Orion, but it felt good. It felt angelic frequency. So I think sometimes there are similar named beings that are not the same. So anyway, there's my story. One story.
I think there might be stories across time where some of the entities, so we would possibly call them maybe third and fourth dimensional beings, that are kind of cranky and grody and mean and disgusting and vile. And they do pretend to be the light sometimes. I'm not saying that experience was. And so I think for all of us who are alive, there have been where we felt maybe some different energy. So we're not sure what type of being it can be, but they can come in and kind of pretend to be the light, like, "I'm your friend," feeling at first, and they're not. And that could also be the grays or the reptilians or some of the others. In my experience, there people say great things about the mantis beings. I met one that was gross or scary, or something was pretending to be a mantis being. I'm not sure. So sometimes they kind of come in and go, "Hi, it's okay." And you're thinking, "No," like you were saying, Ivory, like, "not quite sure about this." And you can ask them to show their light, their truth, their heart. And you can also take control of your energy and say, you know, you have no consent in my energy, my thoughts, my anything.
I learned that lesson the hard way when I was first having my spiritual awakening, not knowing that you can ask them, "Are you of the light? What are your intentions?" And then also standing in your power was something I had to learn through the process as well. So very scary. when you don't understand. And like humans, I always say they can pretend to be somebody else that they're not.
Absolutely. And I think even as a psychic, even as a person who's experienced a lot of visitations from, I don't want to say alien races, alien beings, I'll say aliens. You can still be unsure about what's coming to you because there's so many different things out there. But I do think just like it is with people, no matter what they say, no matter what they present, how does it feel? And learning to tap into frequency is everything, no matter what it's the frequency of, but it tells you the truth. You can't fake your frequency. So what are some of the things that those races are known for doing that makes them seen as a negative presence?
You know, in my experience, and then I don't know everything, that's for sure. There are different factions and factors and layers with it, and they do different things with, did you see a tail of a cat? I'm sorry. I was like, go. I was scooting her off the table. Pardon me. And they are sneaky like my cat, like that. And they come in and they have different purposes, just like the light beings. So some of the light beings are helping us heal consciousness. And some of the darker ones, I remember years ago when I was being targeted, some people around me were calling them the demons. So just like we call the celestial divine beings, celestial beings, angels, there are different levels and layers and types of beings in the light. There are also many in the darks, possibly it could be like inverted, like the inverted matrix. And they have different purposes, like some are to mess with our minds and keep us blind, and some make us sick. And I do not have remembrance of too many things like abductions from dark beings. And in hypnosis, I've seen where other people have much more than I have ever heard of. And that's kind of scary, but they do tend to change our DNA backwards so that we are sick, tired, blocked. And so it's almost like the opposite of helping us heal, helping our consciousness raise, things like that. So it's just like the opposites. All the purposes are the opposite, and they sort of build architectural energetic form around us or in us to slow us down, make us feel bad so that we are possibly enslaved to a lower thinking. So that's in my experience, the main purpose of the darkness is of these extraterrestrials that are yucky, just to keep us behind, keep us from ascending, keep us from our truth, keep us from our higher frequencies.
And I believe that's true, Melissa, because I don't know if it was the aliens doing it, but something at that house in Sedona where I had all of the problems, I was under dark attack. And it really was a continuous attack on my physical body, so that eventually I was in agony 24/7 for almost 3 years. And when you're in agony, you are not at your highest frequency. You are not thinking clearly. You can't, it's hard to find hope. So anything that does that to you is absolutely pulling you down, like sucking you down into the mud of despair. You know, it's just, it's a terrible thing. It is an attack, definitely. What else do they do?
You know, I've also had that where I've had chunks of years at a time where I've had physical and emotional pain, like intense. And it's, you know, part of the targeting actually is the seen and the unseen, right? But I do think that some of like what Ivory was mentioning earlier, that some of the grays did do experiments because they are possibly, they say that the grays are sort of us way, way, way in the future, and they've messed everything up. Like they've corrupted and erupted their own DNA and their own evolution. And so they are coming for us to sort of experiment on us and just sort of keep us like little bugs in a jar, and to see if they can get what we have. So humanity has the light, and you know, we're the children of God. So I think they're trying to undo that and take it from us is what the theories say.
Or maybe they're coming to take DNA to blend it with their own to try to correct that at a DNA level. It's not like taking it away from us, but giving it to themselves to try to correct it. That's a terrifying thought if they're us in the future. Ew. I don't have a fondness for grays at all. I can't, for many years, I couldn't even look at a picture of that, like the gray head with the big eyes. Uh-uh. No, not happening.
I think they're stinky and they're gross, and they will sort of come in and infest. And that's, I think it's happened to all of us in some way. And they'll just try, I call them like drive-bys, because they'll come in and try a little bit to go like sneak in your energy. It's not necessarily that we would all see them, you know, running through the house. Like, what was the Mel Gibson movie where they found out there were aliens running through, and then the little girl kept going, the water is infested. And then they sprayed them with the water at the end and they all fell down. But signs. Yeah. I actually love that movie. It was kind of intense. Also, it was a little scary. You know, like we were talking about earlier, we can keep ourselves in light, but when they are targeting or attacking you over and over and over and over, it's very hard. It breaks you down. So I think that, that they have been doing experiments and they're kind of sneaky. And I also don't think they're that grouping of that alien group is not really all of humanity. I think it was just sort of a little, some of them that didn't make it into the light or ascend.
It makes sense. And another thing, as you're talking about that, Melissa, it occurs to me that that kind of stuff is also an attack on humans, so that we'll be afraid of alien races and think they're all negative. You know, we'll immediately associate. And I think that has happened, because the majority of movies about alien species are negative. It's about them coming to kill us, to enslave us, to eat us, to, you know, wipe us off the face of the planet. Very rarely is it about contacting just to welcome us into the human, you know, the galactic community, or to help us with information. When that happens, it's always a lovely surprise. But I wish they would stop making so many movies that terrify people about this. So what else? Anybody have any experiences with this?
I agree. I kind of wish they would quit making everything be terrifying. And there are entities or extraterrestrial alien beings, the gross ones, that have been, you know, they do feed off of our fear and heaviness, our grief, our depression, our suffering. And so I think, and I've seen this for several decades, not that I could put it to words, but we're undoing the energy structures around all of us, like we've all been affected. But the truth is, we are the children of God, is what I would like to call us, the divine ones, the chosen ones. And different words, I guess, used to describe that. And the light extraterrestrials, they will not go against your free will ever, but the dark ones will. And so like you said, you can feel that the difference in frequency. They're crunchy and they're yucky and they're scary, but that's not the majority. We're just undoing what they did in the past, so that we can all come together and kind of just kick them out. Like, they don't belong in our neighborhood. They don't belong in our atmosphere. They don't belong in our backyard. And so I think that that's what we're doing collectively, even if we don't know it. Like, ew, we don't want icky, scary movie beings coming in. And we're clearing up the third and fourth dimension so that we all can kind of be safe. Because I think the majority is really here to support humanity in awakening and coming forward in our whatever evolution means to everybody.
And I think what you're saying just is a reflection on human society, because like you were saying, that the good ones are going to respect your free will and the bad ones are just going to break it. Well, how is that any different than humans? the ones who are good, who are going to respect your boundaries, who are not going to break the law, not going to intentionally hurt others, versus criminality, which doesn't care. They break into your house, they'll kidnap you, they'll hurt you, you know, take your things, you know, they don't care about your boundaries. So I think it's just something we're very familiar with, just in a different setting. But it shouldn't be such a shock to anybody that bad beings, or, you know, beings that have not reached any kind of enlightenment, raise their frequency, would do things like that. It's just, I think we live it every day here in this, in the human experience.
Right. But the scary thing about that, right, is that they're so much more advanced in how they can access us. That's what's scary to me. It's not like, you know, your typical person on the street that you meet. You know, they can access you through your dreams, when you're doing meditation, you know, when you're doing your work and when you're high like this. I had a lot of reptilian interactions when I was having my spiritual awakening as well. They wanted this formula. They kept telling me the formula. We want the formula. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But they would constantly bombard me through my dreams when I first moved up here. Scary.
And weren't they also bombarding you? I don't know if it was them, but after your son passed and you were going through that deepest part of grief and just really struggling to find the will to go on, weren't some beings attacking you then as well?
Yes. They were so bad at that time that I had that sleep paralysis where, you know, I'd be laying over my husband trying to wake him up or trying to speak, and I couldn't even speak. I knew I was awake, but I couldn't get the words out and I was paralyzed. And they would torture me through those, you know, when I was dreaming, but I was really awake. I mean, it was the point that, like I said, I'm just sitting there and it was constant. But I made it. I'm still here.
I actually had that experience with the frozen in bed, and I was married to David at the time, and he was sound asleep, and it wasn't anything negative happening that I could see, but it was definitely like astral beings coming in, but I couldn't wake him up. I could really move or speak, and he always slept through the whole thing. It was so frustrating. Because it's like, you're right there with me. Why am I experiencing all this and you're not? I want a night off. Let's flip this. Never worked that way. Not even once. Do they ever come into our homes, physically come into our homes, like even if everything's locked up?
Oh, yes. I do. And I don't think walls and doors and things of our world are very relevant to them. And I feel that, you know, a lot of their approaches, visits, as I think of them, that has a lot to do with what you mentioned earlier, Ivory, which is intimidation. You know, these are very low frequency beings who, they have their little games that they know how to play with our mind and our emotions. And the only way to really get control of that, I think, is to have yourself in a state of what I think of as being, you know, controlling of the energy that's all around you. You have to take control of your energy field, and you have to be in a state of mind when you're doing that creating your bubble, you know, or keeping the energy around you that prevents them from entering. I remember when I was a little girl, there was a being that came, and it's so interesting because I saw a video that someone had taken on YouTube about a year ago of this being. And it was on a paranormal channel, and I was stunned when I saw it. And it was outside the back door of my house. And I came down, I was about 7 or 8, and I came down into the kitchen And I saw it there, and it was standing outside the door, and it turned the knob on the door, and it said, "Let me in." Because I think they ask a lot of times, they ask your permission because they want to be allowed to come into your field. And it didn't have to ask me to come through that door, and I knew it, and it knew it. So it was very interesting because it was a very scary experience as a little kid. But I realized immediately that without my permission, it couldn't come in. So just, I was utterly shocked when I saw this picture on YouTube about a year ago of this thing. And it looks like a little Tasmanian devil. It's just this little gargoyle looking creature. Just, I don't know if we would define that as a cryptid or a paranormal entity or something, but definitely it had a frequency, which was very, very, I mean, you didn't miss that frequency because just very low frequency, dark intentions. So I think a lot of our experiences, the sleep paralysis seems like it has a lot to do with that intimidation too. And that keeping you suspended, your energy suspended. So they have control to be able to keep you in that state. It's very intimidating.
It is. It'll make you afraid of it happening again. And as you were saying that first part there, Roz, about dealing with entities and then hearing what Melissa said about these beings, sounds like you can kind of approach it in a similar way to ward them off, to fight them off, because low frequency is low frequency, no matter whether they're coming from another planet, they're coming from another dimension, you know. You feel it when it comes in. You know, for me, when something comes in that is low frequency, I start to feel sick to my stomach. I get pain in my solar plexus, which is the upper stomach. I might even really feel dread, all of a sudden just dread, which is unusual for me because I experience a lot of things. I'm used to the bizarre, but when something comes in and instantly I have that reaction, I know. I don't even worry about, I don't wait to see what is it exactly. I just start banishing that thing, like getting it the heck out of there because I don't want those things in my frequency. And it messes with me personally. It messes with my work, you know, my mission. I don't want any part of those things. I don't mind anything coming to me that's of the light, no matter the source, anything of the light, but these dark things. Hey, and it reminds me, I wanted to ask you ladies, are you aware of there being a lessening of people being taken against their will, like a lessening of the abductions?
Yes, indeed. Over the many years, again, I don't know everything, but there have been, you know, some of us light workers have some missions that we're working on. And part of mine would be helping clear consciousness or clear all of us. And so some of the contracts were in a new cycle, we could call it, or a new phase or a new step, new era energy. And in that, the contracts or the I call it trickery, because those things, we didn't go, come on over. We did not do that. They're sneaky, they're gross. And they have been in the past kind of working, this is going to sound like a movie, working with some of just each other and keeping us in almost like a glass ceiling so we could never get better, higher consciousness and learn and grow and open our eyes, as well as, well, yes. So the contracts are up. The gig is up. Get out. That's what we've said over the last years. And we're kind of flipping them off in the rear view mirror. They can go, I don't know, to some other galaxy and do something, but not here. So it's lessening and the people are safer and safer and safer. And we are all awakening that we have, like Ross was saying, like we have some choice, like, oh, I didn't know I could cleanse that or clear that. It takes work. Sometimes it takes active balancing and work. But I think all of humanity is being relieved, including the people that have memories and have really severe trauma and really bad experiences, like with abduction or with creepsters, you know, dark entities outside of their house or hauntings of that nature. So the contracts are up, the gig is up. And so it's almost like we're vacuuming away their capacity to do so. Does that make sense?
Yes, but it put a funny picture in my head. I see people with a giant Hoover sucking this stuff. I just wondered, the reason is that I had read something about that. And I thought, is there really a lessening of the abductions, or are people just not talking about it because they're worried about being labeled nutty or ending up in the mental health system? As I've shared before, absolutely happens. I worked in the mental health system, and there were plenty of people who, some well-known people who'd had experiences who ended up in a psychiatric hospital. But it sounds like, no, there really is a lessening. I'm so glad.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a mass clearing. Truly, I do. And that's, we've been working on it, some of us. I mean, not like I'm queen of working on that, but that has been part of my mission, to help undo that so that we can be safe and we can all, you know, rise up together and learn in our own ways without this extra interference that is torturous. Like you were saying, like in my life experience from a child, there are different territories where the different types of beings do different things to the people, human beings. And it was brutal and gross, and it was not fun. And they're mean and cruel and degrading and things like that. And that is unacceptable. I think that, to me, I would say that the hand of God has said, enough, back up off of my, you know, people. And so I when you said you like the Hoover idea, I literally in my head, sometimes in my prayers, I'm like, okay, God, help me. Okay, angels, will you help me? And will you vacuum? I say the words vacuum away. So it is like, that's one of my meditations. It's so dorky, but I really do that. And it does work. The angels, the archangels will help. And one in particular experience I had with a very dark, gross, scary being that was just infesting my energy and just following me. And I, you know, as a person who's like clears houses and works on the paranormal team to make sure the children are okay and all these things, I couldn't make it stop. So I had to get help. But the last stance, the last dance of this experience, where it was kind of coming in my house and as sort of like I would see them run through the house, and it was torturous and you could just not think right. And I called, finally, not that I wasn't before, but it took a while. And I finally called on God and all of the archangels. I said, take this, Jesus, Mother Mary, all the archangels. And I saw all of the archangels, Most High, the light ones, come in, slam this thing against the wall and through different dimensions. And that's how I was like, whoa. So they're not supposed to be hanging on to us coming in these higher dimensions. They're trying to drag us down. And so it was Archangel Michael, you know, that takes care of us often, and pushed this entity back and said, no more. Don't touch humanity. No. And I saw it's like slam through these different layers and layers and layers. And they helped me clear my energy that was ripped open where they were coming in and torturing me. So that was a lesson. That was probably 20 years ago. It was so scary. It was so, so much torture, but it was some kind of gross, strange alien being. So I'm very grateful for that experience. Cause now, whew, that's the past. But I know that we can vacuum them up, flip them off, get them out of our humanity's energy.
It's interesting how people can have these negative experiences and have no real memory of them, but then something will trigger it, whether it's having hypnotism done or they just have a waking or sleep call. But all of a sudden, they will just have vivid memory of a part of it and then perhaps a bigger part of it. And I know that probably the craziest thing that ever happened to me was that time at the Writers Conference in Southern California, when that woman who writes books about the Greys and novels. And she was speaking, and she and I met eyes, and I had a flashback to being on a ship on a white table, and she was to my right, and we turned our heads and looked at each other. And in that moment, like, I came back into the room, and she was looking at me, and her eyes were huge. And she told me afterwards she had seen me. She told me what she saw, and it was the exact same thing. And it really flipped her out. I mean, it flipped me out too, but it flipped her out, seems like, even more. But that was a good, that was a good wake-up call for me, that sometimes when we're seeing people and they're having signs of trauma, it could be trauma that we, kind of trauma we wouldn't even have thought of, that's the actual root of this. Because I do think there's a lot of people with PTSD who've had these negative experiences, particularly the ones who were impregnated and then the pregnancies were taken from them. I've met quite a few of those women, and it was absolutely devastating to them.
I agree. And I have a memory of one where one of the people I love the most in my lifetime, we were in a room on, it was dirty looking, but it had white tables, and I was looking at them. I couldn't move. And they did something to this person's head and took out their consciousness. So it was like the fall. And I mean, that's horrifying. And all the years I can't, I mean, like, I almost feel guilty because it didn't, like, they didn't pull it off with me or something. And again, mostly I've been in around divine light beings, but that I have that as well. And we've always loved each other, but it was one didn't make it and one did. And it's horrifying. And I do think that we sometimes cross paths and go, Hey, I recognize you, like you did at the conference, Ivory, where you go, I've never met you before, but I know you. And and have those memories come up. And, those things, those experiments are not allowed anymore. But I think, you know, like we were talking about some of the darker energies that work with other dark entities, they don't listen. They don't respect us. We are stopping it. And I really feel for the people that have any memory of having their children or their womb or their bodies violated in any way, shape, or form.
I just wanted to say about that woman, I had met her before. I had met her 6 or 7 times before. We had spoken, interacted, no issue. But just at that moment where she was speaking, we both had a recall. So I don't know. I think that just makes it even more mind-boggling, because why didn't it happen the first time we met? I don't know, but there's sometimes no rhyme or reason to when the mind is ready to handle a memory and it allows us to have it so that we can deal with it. And maybe it explains some situations or fears we have, or maybe we are hold people at a length because we've been violated a lot and it's hard to trust. So it's far beyond anything that's happened in your human relationships. It goes much further and deeper, which is a very hard thing. There actually are counselors out there, or there were anyway in the 90s, who specialized in people who'd been through experiences like this. They're very expensive. There was one in Sedona, wonderful woman, and they help people deal with these experiences and come to terms with it and learn how to overcome the fears they've gained because of these experiences. So I would imagine there's even more of those therapists out there now. And I think it'd be a good idea to seek one if you've had these issues, because it's probably impacting your life more negatively in ways you don't even realize yet. So tell me more about the lizard people. I mean, lately we've heard more and more about the lizard people than I've ever heard in my life. I'd say in the last 5 years, the lizard people are really up there in popularity for discussion.
You know, and I think they're among us. I think they live, like, once in a while, I'll get a flash of something if I look at somebody. And it's just like a quick flash, but I can see it. It's almost like we were talking about the other week with the Palladians. You can see them and just know, but like with the reptilians or the lizard people, I get like a quick flash and I'm like, oh no, like run the other way. But I think they are here and I think they live among us. And I think that, I don't know about you, but I know when we talked the other day about this collective energy and the heaviness of it and feeling that, I think they're all behind that and they're driving that. I think the higher we're rising, the more they're pushing, and we're rising and they're pushing down. I really think we're at a pivotal point. I feel like it's the precipice, you know, it's going to happen. We're going to break through that, you know, that ceiling and get there, but they are really fighting hard now to keep breaking us down.
I know what you're talking about. It's almost like a mask slip with the reptilians, like occasionally. And for me, I'm not going to say who, because I don't want to get into all that. I'm not into politics like a lot of people are, but certain politicians in the last several years, I've seen them on TV and I saw the mask slip and they were a reptilian. And I'm like, I'm not expecting that. That's not something I specialize in or think about a lot or focus on, but there it is. And, you know, I've been shown evil in other forms when somebody is possessed or has an attachment. I see, especially the possession, I see that in them very clearly. But apparently now I'm seeing when somebody is a negative sort of being trying to mask themselves as human. Ew, don't like it.
There's something about television, I think, for any beings who are shapeshifters, basically, who are wearing a mask that is seen by billions of people, but occasionally, yeah, the plasma field around it or something slips and boom, you just have a flash for that moment of their true presence. There's something about television that just seems to cause that to happen and to slip. And it's really fascinating to watch some of the video where people actually come out of their human form and their true reptilian or other presence shows itself. We want to, everybody that's cultured, at least in our country, wants to be in the 3D world where everything is so simple and everything is just as it appears, but that's not reality. Especially in the multidimensional like fields of frequencies and plasma and all that. It's just amazing to see that when it happens. And it should be a wake-up call for people, but I don't think people want to go there. Too scary, you know?
That is a scary one. And just because I came in sort of starseed focused all of my life, the lizard people especially have been, like I've watched them kind of jump in other people's energy, and it's we could call it possession, but they don't stay all the time. They kind of leave attachments inside. So I think all human beings everywhere have been affected by these beings. And like Terry Ann was saying, they're really smart. They're like, I keep saying they're ancient evil. Don't try to figure them out. There's not logic to it. They are very smart and their time is different. So if they're targeting you or, you know, like, you know, doing stuff in the politics or on TV or in somehow the media, to them, it's like maybe like a week, and we've watched them for 5 years go. It's a little bit, they're super stealth at some things, and they are brutal, vile, mean, cruel. So they would be the narcissists, the predators with a smile.
I think also it's really good to realize, there is a tremendous amount of actual captured video out there in the ethers and in the world. showing these underground areas, not just the tunnels, but underground caverns, underground. These go back thousands of years that have been discovered. And especially in some areas of the world, these underground areas are, you know, the home of a lot of these reptilian and other beings. And it's good to realize it. It sounds so, you know, crazy, but there have been people all over the world who not only have documented this with what they've seen, where then you get into again the mental, you know, are they mentally challenged? Are they, a lot of these people now have their, you know, everybody's got a phone. They documented it, they videoed it. So really, I mean, it pays to have an open mind and not want to shelter yourself in the fantasy that, oh, that's not real. Because recognizing evil is the first step that you can take to dispense with evil. So good to know.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some ignorance is bliss, but you can't protect yourself if you're not willing to face what's happening. I don't care what's happened in your life, whether it's this topic or anything, other kind of attack. If you're going to tell yourself, deny the truth of what's happening to you, you're not going to be able to change that situation. And some of the things that I dealt with back in the worst of this was constantly waking up. I'd know something happened and I'd have really ugly, like triangular shaped scars on my arms or my neck or my legs that were not there the day before. And there's no explanation for, and weird bruises, strange shaped bruises and things that would just come up overnight. So I did have night fear, night terror, really, really bad because of things that happened to me starting in childhood. And it's taken a long time to get to a place where I don't have that anymore. Counseling, hypnotherapy, just working on my, you know, getting stronger in who I am. And those things don't happen to me, not for a very long time. So, you know, that's a relief. It can stop. But I remember thinking for the longest time that nobody could protect me and nobody could stop this. That's where I was for a long time. There was no point telling anybody and no point calling the police, because what are they going to do? You know, if beings can just come into your house and do whatever they want to you, what are these mere mortals going to do? So that's a dangerous place to get into and be stuck in, and just try to avoid that at all costs. Do whatever you have to do to not get stuck in that kind of thinking. And it sounds like what you're saying, Melissa, is less and less danger people will be there because it's just not happening as much. We've got 1 minute left. Do you have something else you want to say, Melissa?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just not happening as much. And we can, like we were all saying, we can kind of band together and go no more. And we choose the light, we choose God, we choose the light. And I think a couple of movies that sort of describe some of this in a good way that doesn't leave us petrified to sleep, go outside, eat, that doesn't leave us petrified could be like that. I didn't quite like the movie at first, but then I was like, oh, they made some good points. But Jupiter Ascending, and it has that Mila Kunitz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know how to say her name. And really always holding the light, and whatever works for you, prayers, meditation, truth, organite can help, things like that. That we're going to be okay. It's not all bad.
No, and I think more and more of it is becoming a positive experience, and you can feel it when it happens. If you have questions about today's show, and I'll be shocked if you don't, email us those questions. If you put them in the show notes on YouTube, those disappear before we even see them most of the time. So you can email us. That email address is in the show discussion on YouTube and on Buzzsprout. And so all the major platforms have it. tune in next week when our topic is forgiving yourself. We often forgive everybody around us who's done terrible things, and we forget the core issue of forgiving ourselves. And we'll talk about the freedom involved in that. So in the meantime, have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.